Welcome to Easel Talk. My name is Gabor Schwagrich.
And I am Phil Stark.
And today's topic is going to be what makes a subject paintable.
Yep.
And we thought it's a good one to talk about. Don't think that Phil and Gabor is the authority on what makes a subject paintable.
Oh, we're not?
I know. It would be nice. We are the authority.
No.
You have to come to us to be allowed for you to paint. We just want to talk about we like to go back to fundamentals always. And we'll discuss some other things in here too. But sort of the big things that we've seen over the years that make things paintable is light, shape, mood or atmosphere, the angles, composition, simplicity, and of course the emotional attachment.
Yeah.
I think people sometimes unfortunately put the emotional attachment really top,
right,
without having, you know, some of these things down that we just discussed.
And you've seen that in workshops, and I was guilty of this also early on, but in workshops people come with references to paint from.
Yeah.
And they're really struggling to paint, and we look at their references and, you know, there's nothing there to work with.
Yeah.
So sometimes that's part of the problem. You're picking images or photographs that have nothing to work with. Bad lighting, really bad composition. And we get attached to a photograph maybe because of an object. We like the tree, or, you know, the house has some sentimental value. Yeah, the red barn.
The classic red barn.
So really think through what you're picking. So now, subject matter obviously can be anything. There's old dirty alleys in Chicago I used to paint that would just make great painting. So it's not that it has to be beautiful mountains and
it has to be
subject matter doesn't matter. It's how you arrange it, how you're suggesting light.
That's, you know, even if you're collecting art, you might be an art collector right now listening and say, oh, what are these guys talking about art? It's the same exact principles when you're looking at a painting should apply on your decision. Again, the emotional attachment, of course, is a big one when you purchase something, but underneath the hood, you have to have these elements in there, and that's your job as a painter to put these elements in. So hopefully that person, it might be even a gift, I don't care if they purchased it, what have you, those things are in it.
Right.
So they have something really solid.
And a lot of collectors are drawn to that, but they're not sure why.
You know,
they're just drawn to a good painting because of the good basic fundamentals there.
And collectors, which kind of, we have some show notes down before we began, but this one just kind of popped in my head is that the mistake can happen on both the painter's and the collector's part is that, again, that emotion is so strong that it overpowers all the fundamentals.
Yeah, exactly.
And fortunately, that's not a good way to either to paint or to purchase.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Carlson had a good quote, and I should have looked it up before we did this. Quoted exactly, but he said, a good subject, or actually he's talking about a painting, a good painting has to have the fundamentals in there, but then that's covered up by how you apply the paint. So the fundamentals are there, but they're not too obvious.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of expected in a good painting.
Yeah.
I think William Reese said that.
The fundamentals stick out too much, your painting becomes a little stiff.
Yeah.
It has to have that emotional attachment to it that makes the fundamentals work better.
Yeah, so the why question is actually sort of hidden. It's not hidden because it's secretive. These are the things that we're talking about. And of course the drawing angles, on this one it said angles, that's part of drawing, and mood, atmosphere, those are values, and color shifts and those things have to be understood. So there's a those are just basic, we call them basic things, but those are the things that could really, you shouldn't even get into a painting if you don't see those things. And seeing those things takes time. It doesn't happen by itself. So you might have started maybe painting a year ago, It's a long journey, so don't get frustrated if you're still not getting it, quote unquote. But the light bulbs will go off as long as you're at it and you're painting, and it will sort of answer itself, kind of thing. It's not magic; it's hard work, but you'll see the fruit of it, and then you might think back at, oh, that's what Gabor and Phil was talking about.
Yeah. So if you're outside painting or you're outside photographing, and you see something, decide what it is that's grabbing you. Is it an object? You know, is it the angle of a barn or a house? Then look for how that's composed in the setting. Is it something you can work with? You're not going to find a photograph or a scene that you can photograph that's perfect, but it has to have enough there to work with. Yeah. And that's what I think what we look for is that one thing that draws me. Is there enough around it to compose a good painting? You know, is the lighting good? And you can take out one or two of those things as long as you have some of them still there to hold things up. But if it's bad lighting, there's nothing to compose, then, you know, it's just time to move on to something else.
I see plenty of quote-unquote pretty things, you know, so that's the emotional attachment. But it's, I know because I've tried, it's not going to work in a painting.
Yeah.
So I'm not even going to attempt it because I failed with it miserably in the past. It doesn't mean that another artist might not, you know, attempt it and succeed with it. I'm just saying, for personally me, I can see that that's just not going to be working.
Right.
So again, we talked in another episode about Len Schmiel, about the flat light he paints. Len Schmiel, look his name up, but he paints in these, like, really, we would say flat light conditions, but he does a really good job at it.
Yeah.
There's always exception to the rule. We're just talking in more in general terms a lot of times because we don't have every answer to every problem, and all these are very some of these problems are you'll experience them as you go along with them. But again, fundamentals are fundamentals. There's as far as drawing, there's not much you cannot hide behind a bad drawing. So.
Mm-hmm.
Values to near, that's harder, and color, it's more feeling, that's more the emotional part, I think, of the painting. Color is more emotional, but the other parts of it, like angles and perspective, you know, those things are not emotional.
Yeah, I had a workshop where I had a student bring in, she had been to New York and really loved several of the churches there. Of course, New York is crowded, everything's crunched together. So she took pictures of a church. She really liked it. She wanted to paint the church. And she must have had 30 photographs, different churches, but some places that, you know, she's looking over a car to see the church, or there's a parking lot in front of and beside the church. There's just nothing there to compose, but she has an attachment to this church. And she liked the steeples, the doors, the detail in the church. So for her, I think it begins with composition. What makes a, you know, how do I compose something? And I think Gabor and I both have found out we might fall in love with an object, but if there's not a setting we can place it into, make a picture out of it, it's just not going to work. And that takes a lot of spending time outside, thumbnail drawings, camera, and just photographing those bad things that we think might make a neat painting, but they don't make a good composition. And that's kind of where it starts, composing, I think.
Yeah.
And looking for the lighting, what the light's doing, so.
And photography and paint, so your photographs and your paintings, they kind of go hand in hand. As you get better with photography, your paintings get better too.
Yeah.
At least that's what I've seen. Is that true with
you
too?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a circular problem. You don't have good references because you don't know how to take it. And your paintings aren't good because you don't have good references. So
yeah,
that's, you know, that's where you break things down to first understanding composition,
yeah,
then understanding values. And that builds, and gradually you get.
Yeah.
And if you enjoy the process, it is enjoyable. Frustrating, but enjoyable.
Actually, I was looking at this. It was a National Geographic photographer. It was a landscape scene. And they praised it as this great photograph. And I looked at it, and I'm like, that composition is just so bad. I mean, if I would paint that image, I mean, it was so centered, everything like that would look horrible in a painting.
Yeah.
So yeah. I would, actually say even on a photograph there was just a bad composition. So you could move the lens left and right. I mean, that's just how. And you know, these days with digital, I mean, the photographers have they're becoming more like painters, in the sense they have tools now to manipulate that image.
Right.
They might start with something, right, and then but they're gonna take that into something totally different. So if you would see all the changes that was done on that photograph, you'd be blown away. You'd be like, well, that's not how the photograph looked like. And at the end, it doesn't matter how it looked like. If you know, basically, you have an end result. Like I'm just talking about photography now. And you're looking for an end result. You're not going to start with this, but you're going to start with something else, and then eventually it's going to work itself into into what you want it to be. And I think that's where art really will start, even for a photographer.
And it's the same thing with photographs. You don't have to have a perfect photograph to paint from, but it has to be something you can work with. And what I do typically, I think Gabor does too, we can spend time photographing on a painting trip or an afternoon and come home and stick them on the computer and spend time looking at them, deciding, you know, is there a good light direction? Is there a good atmosphere to work with? Usually you have to tweak the composition. Not very often do you find the perfect composition in nature. You have to shift things, move things slightly.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about not making up everything. If you have to do that, you might as well throw the photograph out and go to the next one. But spend time, you know, with a sketchbook and doing little thumbnail drawings, quick, simple things that help you rearrange the objects in the landscape.
Somebody said in the past, I think in one of the demonstrations, I think it was one of the video demonstrations, is Gabor, well, the photograph you used was your painting was the same as the photograph. And I said, well, yeah, because I'm the one that composed the photograph.
Exactly.
The photograph didn't happen magically. I'm the one that zoomed the lens in. I'm the one that shifted the camera over.
Right.
I'm the one that waited for that light. It didn't get up by itself.
And so magically, the painting begins when you point the camera, actually, because you're composing
that. I was going for that. What I saw, there was a reason I clicked the shutter at that focal length. And at that angle of everything is because that's what I liked. But it's because it's my photograph. And that's the danger of using somebody else's photograph.
Yeah.
Because then I can say that looked like the photograph if that wasn't yours. Because you never took that photo. That was not your vision. So photography is actually, yes, it could be like art because it is that vision. You needed to look through the lens and then compose that image.
Right.
Now, how much you actually, as far as the style you're painting, are you loose? Are you, what other elements you put into that painting? Yeah, you can make it your own. But if you just wanna, you know, paint the photograph you took because it inspired you and put it into paint, again, the paint manipulation and all those things can, it didn't look like the photograph. It was in paint. It was different. But that's the fact. Those photos that I have in my library, I took those photos. And that's just, it's not even just going to the place. It's literally, you know, moving around, you know, are you zooming in on an area? Do you see something that the other painter doesn't see? So as long as they're real photographs, that's your interpretation.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you could, you know, you could, but as Phil said, it's a starting point, but it could be an end point too. If the scene, you just liked the way the trees were lined up, and if compositionally works, go ahead.
I have right.
No problem with it at all.
And even thinking outside the box too, when you're looking for subjects, it doesn't have to be the same, you know, S composition in every painting. You can think in terms of how to rearrange things with the camera while you're outside, you get different angles.
So, you know, the photography world, and I mean, I don't, maybe it's going to be virtual reality. Give it about 15, 20 years. it's already here. I mean, it's 2017. It's here. It's already here. They're just going to perfect it.
Right.
You know, they probably laughed at the camera in the beginning, or the digital camera for that matter, when film went to digital.
Yeah.
You know, and look what happened to Kodak.
Yeah.
But
That's true.
They're just tools. They're
everything
not gonna
changes.
They're not going to replace your actual, you know, we're talking about painting here, the actual physical aspects of painting. Now, if you're talking illustration, a little different story. The end result of what that is going to be for, it's for commercial purposes, usually products. They're selling products. We're not selling products. We're selling, you know, our own experiences, and it happens to be a paint. It can be a sculptor, whatever medium it is.
I think one of the things some of the older artists had over us before camera was they would go to the spots and do drawings and use the drawings, simplistic drawings, plus their memory, and come up with color sketches for what colors they're using and values, and then do the larger painting. Mm-hmm. So they were using their compositional skills, their ability to suggest light, along with what they were seeing in nature, not taking it from a photograph. And that's a good exercise to do. Try and do some paintings from memory and from drawings you've done.
Or black and white.
Use a black and white photography.
Yeah, that's where the values are definitely, they play a really important part. I mean, if you take one of your paintings and you turn it into black and white in Photoshop or whatever, they should still stand up.
If
they don't look good in black and white, they are not going to look better in color.
Color
doesn't make a painting a badly designed, badly drawn, and wrong values. All of a sudden, it's just going to substitute all of a sudden all those things. It's just not going to happen. It doesn't take a place of those. It's not a blanket that all of a sudden covers all those mistakes.
Yeah.
Okay. It's sort of the dessert for the human eye, but underneath that. That's why you hear the saying, belly does all the work, while color does, you know, takes the credit kind of thing. That's true.
Yeah. You know, it's a good idea to look at the color photo and the black and white next to each other.
Yeah.
Maybe have them both there while you're painting, because you can lose the sense of value when you focus too much on the color.
Look at the old illustrators, the golden age of illustration. Look that up on the internet and look at those illustrations. There's a lot of them were sepia or black and white, and all of a sudden you're like realizing that's not even color.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But why is it? Because they had the design, drawing, and value down.
Same. Or black and white with one or two colors.
Yeah.
Very really, really nice effect. Yeah.
Again, those are the things that were under the hood. You can't get around drawing. So you know, it's constantly we're pushing you guys back to the fundamentals to have, you know, those things down, and that's fun actually. I mean, learning to the learning process it's frustrating sometimes, but it should be a fun experience. Not always it's frustrating, but actually learning about the fundamentals and building upon that. And
one thing that helps too is when you're photographing a subject and you find an idea that you want to convey in the painting, stick with that idea. Don't get caught up in other areas of the painting to the point where it takes away. And I think that goes along with simplifying things. If you can keep things simple, you can focus in one area and let the detail go in other areas too. So look for those subjects that, again, you can simplify and use the light that's there to create a mood and atmosphere in your painting.
Yeah, generally we take subject matter that's complex sometimes, and we need to simplify it in the painting world. That's kind of the general thing that we do. That's why you want to try to find subject matter that's somewhat simple right from the beginning.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Because if it's so complex, you don't know where to simplify it. So that's why you should be scanning your eye when you take the camera, take those pictures, or even painting outside, is look for big, large shapes. Try to find those simple, you know, elements in the scene that you see. And if it's too complex, if it looks too complex, you look at it as too complicated, then move on.
Yeah. Or if it's complex, there's a way to simplify it.
If you have, the knowledge. So it depends on what level you are. So you might be an advanced painter, you might be beginner. If you're a beginner, then move on.
Yeah.
If you're more advanced, then yeah, you could definitely filter it out. And that's just experience and years of painting. You can filter those things out. So
And there's lots of things that make great photographs but bad painting. So and the more you work with photographs, the more you'll find that. You'll take something that looks paintable and you'll struggle for a few days trying to make it a painting. It just doesn't work.
And I think it works the opposite way. Something that makes a great painting will not make a good photograph. Exactly. Too. I think it can happen both ways. And again, just do it basically. Paint a lot, draw a lot, and a lot of these questions will be answered to you. So thanks for joining us today, and we will see you guys next time.
Yeah, thanks for coming.